fail to see the gravity of it. It's not just a theory. It is a provable, predictable certainty of nature, and one of the greatest productivity truths ever discovered. Richard Koch, in his book The 80-20 Principle, defined it about as well as anyone. Koch says, "The 80-20 Principle asserts that a minority of causes, inputs, or effort usually lead to a majority of the results, outputs, or rewards." In other words, in the world of success, things aren't equal. A small amount of causes creates most of the results. Just the right input creates most of the output. Selected effort creates almost all of the rewards. Pareto points us in a very clear direction. The majority of what you want will come from the minority of what you do. Extraordinary results are disproportionately created by fewer actions than most realize. Don't get hung up on the numbers. Pareto's truth is about inequality, and though often stated as an 80-20 ratio, it can actually take a variety of proportions. Depending on the circumstances, it can easily play out as, say, 90-20, where 90% of your success comes from 20% of your effort. Or 70-10, or 65-5. But understand that these are all fundamentally working off the same principle. Urine's great insight was that not everything matters equally. Some things matter more than others, a lot more. A to-do list becomes a success list when you apply Pareto's principle to it. The 80-20 principle has been one of the most important guiding success rules in my career. It describes the phenomenon which, like urine, I've observed in my own life over and over again. A few ideas gave me most of my results. Some clients were far more valuable than others. A small number of people created most of my business success. And a handful of investments put the most money in my pocket. Everywhere I turned, the concept of unequal distribution popped up. The more it showed up, the more I paid attention, and the more I paid attention, the more it showed up. Finally, I quit thinking it was a coincidence and began to apply it as the absolute principle of success that it is, not only to my life, but also in working with everyone else as well. And the results were extraordinary.
Extreme Pareto.
Pareto proves everything I'm telling you, but there's a catch. He doesn't go far enough. I want you to go further. I want you to take Pareto's principle to an extreme. I want you to go small by identifying the 20%, and then I want you to go even smaller by finding the vital few of the vital few. The 80-20 rule is the first word, but not the last, about success. What Pareto started, you've got to finish. Success requires that you follow the 80-20 principle, but you don't have to stop there. Keep going. You can actually take the 20% of the 20% of the 20% and continue until you get to the single most important thing. Figure 5, found online at theonething.com, shows you that no matter how many to-dos you start with, you can always narrow it down to one, no matter the task, mission, or goal, big or small. Start with as large a list as you want, but develop the mindset that you will whittle your way from there to the critical few, and not stop until you end with the essential one. The imperative one. The one thing. In 2001, I called a meeting of our key executive team. As fast as we were growing, we were still not acknowledged by the very top people in our industry. I challenged our group to brainstorm 100 ways to turn this situation around. It took us all day to come up with the list. The next morning, we narrowed the list down to 10 ideas, and from there, we chose just one big idea. The one that we decided on was that I would write a book on how to become an elite performer in our industry. It worked. 8 years later, that one book had not only become a national bestseller, but also had morphed into a series of books with total sales of over 1 million copies. In an industry of about 1 million people, one thing changed our image forever. Now, again, stop and do the math. One idea out of 100. That is Pareto to the extreme. That's thinking big, but going very small. That's applying the one thing to a business challenge in a truly powerful way. But this doesn't just apply to business. On my 40th birthday, I started taking guitar lessons and quickly discovered I could give only 20 minutes a day to practice. This wasn't much, so I knew I had to narrow down what I learned. I asked my friend Eric Johnson, who happens to be one of the greatest guitarists ever, for advice. Eric said that if I could do only one thing, then I should practice my scales. So I took his advice and chose the minor blues scale. What I discovered was that if I learned that scale, then I could play many of the solos of great classic rock guitarists, from Eric Clapton to Billy Gibbons, and maybe someday even Eric Johnson. That scale became my one thing for the guitar, and it unlocked the world of rock and roll for me. The inequality of effort for results is everywhere in your life, if you will simply look for it. And if you apply this principle, it will unlock the success you seek in anything that matters to you. There will always be just a few things that matter more than the rest, and out of those, one will matter most. Internalizing this concept is like being handed a magic compass. Whenever you feel lost or lacking direction, you can pull it out to remind yourself to discover what matters most.
Big ideas. Go small. Don't focus on being busy. Focus on being productive. Allow what matters most to drive your day. Go extreme. Once you've figured out what actually matters, keep asking what matters most until there is only one thing left. That core activity goes at the top of your success list. Say no, whether you say later or never. The point is to say not now to anything else you could do until your most important work is done. Don't get trapped in the checkoff game. If we believe things don't matter equally, we must act accordingly. We can't fall prey to the notion that everything has to be done, that checking things off our list is what success is all about. We can't be trapped in a game of checkoff that never produces a winner. The truth is that things don't matter equally, and success is found in doing what matters most.
Sometimes it's the first thing you do. Sometimes it's the only thing you do. Regardless, doing the most important thing is always the most important thing.
Chapter 5. Multitasking. Publilius Syrus said, "To do two things at once is to do neither."
So, if doing the most important thing is the most important thing, why would you try to do anything else at the same time? It's a great question. In the summer of 2009, Clifford Nass set out to answer just that. His mission? To find out how well so-called multitaskers multitasked. Nass, a professor at Stanford University, told the New York Times that he had been in awe of multitaskers and deemed himself to be a poor one. So he and his team of researchers gave 262 students questionnaires to determine how often they multitasked. They divided their test subjects into two groups of high and low multitaskers and began with the presumption that the frequent multitaskers would perform better. They were wrong. "I was sure they had some secret ability," said Nass. "But it turns out that high multitaskers are suckers for irrelevancy. They were outperformed on every measure. Although they'd convinced themselves and the world they were great at it, there was just one problem. To quote Nass, multitaskers were just lousy at everything." Multitasking is a lie. It's a lie because nearly everyone accepts it as an effective thing to do. It's become so mainstream that people actually think it's something they should do and do as often as possible. We not only hear talk about doing it, we even hear talk about getting better at it. More than 6 million web pages offer answers on how to do it, and career websites list multitasking as a skill for employers to target